Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. So we are here. We're excited that we are here. I'm excited to be ministering this word today. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for you just allowing us to be able to come together in fellowship, dear God, in singing in psalms and hymns, dear God, and encouraging one another, dear God. I pray, dear God, that today we would all be an encouragement to one another, oh God, that when we speak, dear God, that we would edify and lift each other up, oh God. And I pray, dear God, for this sermon, dear God, that you placed in my heart, that it would speak to the people, dear God, that are here and those that will hear it later. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. I'm still in the What Do You Believe series, and it's been a good series. I've been excited about it. Last time I preached on What Did You Believe About the Gospel? And like I said, the gospel is the core essential that separates Christianity from so many other things, because it says simply that I am not good enough for God, right? I'm not good enough. I don't meet his standards, because God's standards are higher than man's. We are all sinful beings. And the gospel simply says that Jesus came and died for our sins. And he died. And not only did he die, he rose from the dead to conquer our sins, to forgive us from sins, so that we can be reunited with God. Because our relationship with God cannot be completed without Jesus. Amen. God cannot stand sin, and we are sinners. And the only way for us to be clean is for us pretty much to stand behind Jesus and say, okay, I'm in line with Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then God says, okay, I could be in a relationship with you. Amen. So we talked about that. We broke down some of the scriptures on that. We talked about admitting you're a sinner, believing Jesus died, and confession of your sins and committing your life to God. This time, we're going to talk about what do you believe about the Bible? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Now, amongst all the books, amongst all the different books and different religions, they all have a book, right? I don't want to name all the books, because if I start naming some, I might mess the names up, right? But there's a book for every religion. What's so special about the Bible? Right, we have to know these kind of answers for ourselves, so it's not just like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna pick what book you gonna pick, and we go to the bookstore. What's your number one bookseller? Oh, the Bible. I'm gonna pick up the Bible today. Right? What if next week the Bible wasn't the number one bookseller, and somebody says, what book am I gonna read? I'm gonna read this book. I'm gonna read that book. So we have to know why we believe the Bible. Amen. So I'm gonna ask you: do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? And that's a question that you're going to answer within. These are some things that other people believed about the Word of God. First, I have, hopefully that's going to work right. And my kids are loud today. I don't know what's going on. But the first one was by Ronald Reagan. He said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. Abraham Lincoln said, but for this book, we could not know right from wrong. He also said, I believe that the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. All right, now, Mark Twain, he said this next one, and he kind of has some good things to say about the Bible, some bad things to say. But he said this: it ain't the parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. Right? And it's interesting, because the things that we do understand about the Bible, a lot of times it's going to cause us to have to sacrifice, you know, and it's not always like, yes, sacrifice. When you guys heard him talk about fasting, nobody was like, yeah, woo-hoo-hoo, I got to skip meals for how many days? 5 days? I mean, I've been saved for a while, and fasting is still, it's not that thing that you'd be like, I can't wait to fast. But the benefits of fasting, as he said, is to get closer to God. Amen. And sometimes that's the thing we have to do. There's some times in my life where I have to call a fast because I can't concentrate while I'm praying. I can't concentrate while I'm reading the Bible. There's so many distractions. But to block those distractions, sometimes you have to fast. Amen. Gandhi said this. Now, Gandhi is not a Christian, right? We all understand that. Listen to what he said about the Bible. He said, you Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. Now, that's interesting because he's talking explosions, right? Turn the world upside down and then also bring peace. He's like, man, there's a lot in there. But then he said this, but you treat it as though it is nothing more than a piece of literature, right? Sometimes we read the Bible and we just only see it as a great book, right? But we have to know that it is the word of God. Amen. I was doing some study on why the Bible is so important, and you can always do this kind of stuff. I think it's very important. So from that study, I came up with a quick description of the Bible. I said the Bible was written by 40 authors of all walks of life, vocations, careers, over a 1,500-year period, written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It has survived in various places, continents, conditions, and circumstances amongst many who tried to destroy it. The message of the Bible displays unity to the point that God is love, a God of forgiveness, the meaning and giver of life, as well as pointing to Jesus as our Lord and Savior in a sinful, condemned world. Now, as I was looking through some of the things, why one of the biggest things was the unity of the Bible, right? So they said this was something that they suggested. If we had 10 people and we asked them, hey, what's the meaning of life? And they don't get to interact with each other or anything like that. 10 people to write a book on what the meaning of life is. How many of those 10 people would get you the same answer? Right? Wouldn't it be different? Right? People have different philosophies, different beliefs. But the thing about the Bible is with 40 authors over a span of 1,500 years, these same people had a philosophy that was united, right? It was united. It was all together because the Bible talks about it's not just, and we're going to go to this scripture. This is going to be my first scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. This is why the Bible comes together like this. Let's go there, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why God's word sticks together. And the great thing about God's word, it explains itself. God's word wasn't written by some man that said, hey, I got a good idea. I got a way for us to live. No, God inspired. Do you guys know what it means to inspire? Inspire means like if when you are inspired, it's not your own idea, right? It's not always your own idea. When you are inspired, the Spirit of God inspired these men to write these books. Thus, it has its unity that keeps the Bible. Amen. Now, why do people not write the Bible today? Because we already have enough. Right? Just imagine if we had 66 more books to the Bible. Some of us have a hard time reading the 66 that's in there. Right. You add another 66. You can't read the Bible in a year no more. Now you got to, we know how we do all those things. But also because God's word was done. He had enough in there to lead us and direct us. Matter of fact, there are different books that the same authors in the Bible wrote. And one of the books is the book to the church of Laodicea. And it's actually Paul was talking about it to the Ephesians. He says, read the one that I sent to the Laodiceans, right? And give the one that the Ephesians to them. So we can find that book today. And it's so similar to Galatians. It's like it didn't need to be in there. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why the certain books of the Bible are in there. But we know that, number one, all the authors, there's not a book in the Bible where we didn't know who the author was. If we didn't know who the author was, it wasn't considered the canonized scripture or the collection that we have. Okay? So we're talking about the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And not only that, check this out. We don't have to go erase the Bible, right? We don't go find a scripture and say, let me erase that because now it doesn't seem like it fits with us. No, we have to look at the Bible and say, this is God's word. One thing about God is unchangeable, right? He's not moved by time. God doesn't have time, right? That's crazy for us to think about because our whole life is driven by, I got to wake up when my alarm goes off. How many, what time you guys' alarm go off? Pretty early? 6. Okay, you guys, 6 o'clock, got to wake up, right? Because you can't be late, which is another time, to our job. I have to clock in 8 hours time at my job. Then I got to figure out how I can get home. Hopefully it's not a lot of traffic because that costs time, right? Then I got to get home. If my husband or my wife didn't cook, I got to cook. That's going to take time. Got to do the homework. Man, our whole life is driven by time. And if the kids, like you got kids, they playing sports, time. Right. You spending so much time trying to think about time that you don't have time to do what you thought you had time to get done. Right. And time for us is not only essential, but it also becomes an issue. But with God, he doesn't have time. God has already seen the beginning and the end. Now, we can't understand that in our finite minds because God is infinite, right? We used to say when you was counting to 100, what's the highest number? 100. One kid would say 1,000. The next would say 1,000,000. Then we got smart and said infinity, right? Infinity, man, it kept on going. But that's God. He keeps on going. So he's not limited by time. And since he's not limited by time, his word wasn't limited by time. His word wasn't just for the people that were in Egypt that were walking in the desert, right? That didn't have electronics. They didn't have electronics. They didn't have all that. But his word will stand the test of time. Amen. And then it says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Now, see, that's the thing that some people, when they read the Bible, they do not accept the correction. But God's word should correct us. We don't correct God's word. OK, God is not being tested. He's already passed the test. He's the tester. He is the test. And he showed us how to do it. So God's word is for the correction, for instructing us in righteousness. We live in a day and age where people want to make up what righteous is, but God's word clearly tells us how to live. And guess what? Anything you go through, the Bible even talks about it in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun, right? The same, it might be on a wider media scale, because now we got TV and they portray so much stuff to us. But all the things that we face, they face, right? All of that was going on in the world. Nothing has changed. We might get it faster, like I said, because we have media, but it's still the same things. And God's word can still teach us how to live a righteous life in this day and age. Amen. And verse 17 said that the man of God, and I always say woman of God, may be complete. Somebody say complete. Now, some of us, we walk around incomplete. We got saved. We've given our life to God, but we're just like, okay, God, I gave you my life. Man, what's next? Right? If you're not reading the Bible, that's the question that you have. But if you're in the Word, he will direct you and show you, hey, okay, precious, now you gave your life to God. Now walk with me. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And this is one of my favorite scriptures for people that's trying to figure out what to do as a believer. Colossians chapter 3 will instruct you how to live your daily walk. Right? And I'm not going to read that today, but the Bible will direct you on how to live. Amen. So if you want to be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work, you have to read this word. Amen. Let's go. I was looking something up today as well at the website was newtestamentchurch.org. And it said the Bible has been used to prove a lot of areas of science. Now, I am not a scientist, okay? I'm going to be clear. Chemistry class, biology, that wasn't my subjects. Right? I still passed, though. Praise the Lord. Some of us are, we just passed. But I'm not trying to build no bombs. I'm not trying to build any, put no chemicals together, you know, unless it's tea, you know, tea and sugar or something like that. But outside of that, I'm not doing too much. But it's interesting that the Bible has been proved or has proven science, right? Now, once again, I talked about the Bible is not, it wasn't a book that needed to be changed by time. But this, look, we're going to go to the first one that I have, which is talking about astronomy. All right. Astronomy in Psalms chapter 19, verse 5-6. I'm going to read this scripture. I'm going to start at verse 4. It says, the line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like the bridegroom coming out of his chambers and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. All right. Now, somebody's like, what is he reading? This is talking about the sun, all right? The actual sun that orbits. Now, for many years, it had been said that the sun doesn't move, right? The sun doesn't move at all. The earth is what's moving, right? The earth is moving. Come on, somebody help me with this, because this is what kind of, this is science, and I was all right in science. But the earth was the only thing that we thought was moving. So for many years, scientists made fun of the Bible because they were like, oh, the earth is the only thing to move and the sun doesn't move. Well, after studying this scripture, they actually found out that the sun does move. Right? The sun, they said the sun moves 600,000 miles per hour. All right? Now, this is crazy because, you know, when you get in this space, things are just moving. But it said it has to move 200 million miles. So even going 600,000 miles per hour to get to 200 million, it's going to take a while, right? And it moves so slowly that we didn't know. But now we have all these fancy gadgets and we get to see, wow, the earth and the sun are moving. But to the naked eye, you wouldn't have been able to see that. So in this scripture right here, they were able to see the sun moving, and also the solar power was explained. In this verse, it talked about, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. If we go to another version of the Bible, it talks about the sun gives energy, right? Now, we just got into solar power energy not too long ago, right? But this was already in the Bible that the sun gives energy. And it's crazy because we didn't think about this, but God's word can stand the test of the time, and it can also teach us in the area of astronomy, okay? Also, it talked about oceanography, and I'm not going to go through all of these. I just wanted to get a few. But oceanography, does anybody know what oceanography is? What is it? All right. See, he, you know, ology just means study of. He got that. You know, when you, biology just means the study of bio, right? So, as he said, oceanology is the study of the ocean. How does the ocean, check this out. Man, this was crazy. As I was reading this stuff, I was like, wow, this is incredible. Now, you have one river, the Mississippi River. It dumps so much water into the Gulf of Mexico, right? Continuously. It doesn't stop, right? The water could, it just so much water, but it doesn't overflow, right? Have you guys ever thought about what happens to all that water? It doesn't, all of it doesn't come back in the rain, right? Because some of those places don't have too much rain. But let's go to Ecclesiastes 1:7. And this scripture was used to prove the theory of the hydraulic cycle. Ecclesiastes 1:7. It said, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. So what happens is the water ends up back in the same place. Now, how does that happen? We have no idea but God. Amen? That's the powers of God. Now, let's keep on reading in Ecclesiastes 11, chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 3. This is Solomon, and this was the wisest man on earth besides Jesus. It says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. All right. So it's just talking again about water and how the whole system of water works. Amos chapter 9, verse 6. Says this. This is the only explanation that we have for what happens on this earth. It says, he who builds his layers in the sky and has founded his, what does that say, strata? In the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. All right, so it pretty much says God does these things. But for us, we can't understand it. Nobody can clearly understand how the hydraulic system works. All we know is it works. And if it ain't broke, what we say? Don't try to fix it. Amen. But God, the Bible has been used to explain this. People didn't know how it worked. And these are just some of the things. They talked about physics. And the first law of thermodynamics, okay? And like I said, is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. And this is an easy scripture. It says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. All right? So this theory of thermodynamics strictly says that once matter is done, it's done. It doesn't continue to make. That's why when people talk about the theory of evolution, it doesn't work because it's done. Matter, once matter is created, it's done. Not only that, the first law of the thermodynamics is that it'll be done. But the second law of thermodynamics is that it is going to deteriorate, right? And the Bible talks about it's going to deteriorate to the point where we're going to have to need a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to create one that's going to be without spot or without blemish, because this one is created and pretty much it is the law of thermodynamics. All right. It talks about medicine, biology, geology, talks about archaeology, right? Because Noah built the ark. So thus, that's not archaeology, but yeah, Nobody got that. Noah built an ark so he showed people how to build other arks. Amen. You didn't put that up. It says LOL on there just so everybody can laugh. Right? Yeah. And numerics. Now, the numeric system is heavily in the Bible. Read the book of Numbers, and they will show you how to properly do a family tree, right? We got the internet, and now we're like, hey, you can find your ancestors. They have been doing that in the Bible for a long time, right? So you guys can go to newtestamentchurch.org if you want to figure out what other science stuff is in there. And it was pretty cool, man. But, you know, I just wanted to give a few of those points. Because the Bible, like I said, is a word that can instruct us in every area of our life. Amen. And it's funny how so many people try to discredit the Bible, right? They try to discredit the Bible and say, oh, it doesn't mean that much. It's not that powerful. But we're going to see what the Bible says about itself. Amen. And these are not things that we made up. The Bible is not a book that was made in the 20th century. As I said, it has stood the test of time. They didn't even write it in a book. They used to write it in scrolls, right? On papyrus. And they kept and preserved this. They had people that would recopy it over and over. Like, so if you guys were scribes, you would just copy the scripture over and over. Then we had to get people that could copy it from one language to the next language. And now we live in a day and age where the Bible is in pretty much every language. So that's pretty powerful. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 16 through 21. This also talks about how the Bible was written. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 21. I think it is 2 Peter. I'm sorry. Yep, here it is. It says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. So what is Peter talking about? He's talking about Jesus and a couple of the disciples that were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Transfiguration, all right? I'm sounding like I'm... that word sounds funny right now. But anyway, they're on the mount and Jesus transfigured in front of them, all right? Now, we know about Transformers. We think that's a cool movie. It's one of the top movies, right? Jesus actually transformed from his human body to his spiritual body in front of the disciples, right? I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. And the disciples were like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on? Because his spiritual state is totally different than his physical state. How do I know that? Because even in the Revelations, when the guy who wrote the Revelations, and it was John, right? Mom, John. John wrote Revelations, and while he was there, he explains what God looked like in his spiritual state, and he says he had eyes like fire, right? Now, nobody has eyes like fire in their natural state, right? A tongue that was like a sword. Now, if you saw that, some of us would be scared, right? Like, that's the God that we posted? That's Jesus? But in his spiritual state, he was totally different. And Peter was like, man, we saw that. Not only did we see it, we heard the voice of God say that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? So what we see is Peter's trying to explain, okay, first of all, this is not something I'm making up. I experienced it firsthand. And not only did I experience it, we have another written document that explains what happened there in the Gospels. So then he says, And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, listen to this, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? The Bible is not something that, once again, man made up. Private interpretation. That means, oh, I have a good idea. Let me make this up. It says, no, that's not what it is. It says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this scripture, again, says the same thing as 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All scripture is written by God, right? By the Spirit of God, and is useful for correcting. It's not something that man made up. So when we look at the Bible, we always have to remember that. This isn't something that man made up, because when man makes things, there will be holes in it. There will be flaws in it, right? Now, you got your husband over there. Has he built anything yet? Right. That was going to be my, I knew she was going to say something like that. Now, see, my wife, I don't build too many things. Why? Because I don't know how to. And even the people that are great at building things, sometimes there's going to be flaws. And they will know. Sometimes we won't know. We go, oh, that wall looks great. And they be like, nah, it's warped a little bit right there. And, you know, like everything that man does is going to have a flaw, because we are flawed. Especially writing a book like this. But the Bible was not written only by man. It was written by the hand of man, but inspired by the will of God. Amen. So that's what we have to know, because there's many people that would tell you, oh, that's just a book. These people came up with it. Even some black people say the white man came up with it. This is white man's religion. It's not. It's written by the word of God. Amen. The word of God is written by the Spirit of God. And we have to know that. Another thing that we need to know about the Bible is that it is living and active. What does that mean? This book is living and active. And that sounds scary, right? My Bible is living and active. Does that mean it has a light? It'll come on by itself when you're at home and nobody else is around? No. But what it is, what it means that by that it is living and active is that God's word, once again, will stand the test of time, because it's not dead. It's not just a book. There's many manuscripts that were great. We all grew up hearing about Shakespeare, right? Now, I don't talk to my wife in that language, right? How forth thou cometh here whither and sit thither. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't talk like that. That was a great manuscript for that time, right? But even Shakespeare and his great writings, they are ceasing to be spoken about today, right? That doesn't mean it was a bad book, but what it was a book that didn't stand the test of time. The Bible can stand that test. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12 is what we want to get at. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Right? Now, when it says that it is a sharp-edged sword, do not go try to stab somebody with the Bible. That's not what it's saying. But it actually explains what it does. It discerns and even divides the soul and the spirit. So what does that mean? The soul and the spirit. Your soul is like your mind. Your mind is pretty much the soul of you. Your mind can control your spirit if you do not let the word of God change your mind. Right? It's a battle. Really, the battle is between your will and the will of God. Right? That's where the battle is. So what this sword does, it cuts off your will. When you are in the word of God, when you are feasting on the word of God, it will cut your will, or it'll tell you what your will is, explain to you your will, and explain to you the will of God. Now you are in a, you got to choose a side, right? Then it says, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Anybody ever read a scripture and you felt, man, God was just speaking right to me, right? Or you read, and you might have read that scripture for years, never got what it was, what it was talking about. But one day you were enlightened to understand what that scripture was, because that's the powerful thing about how God's word is living and active. That's why we want to stay reading the word of God, because the more we read the word, the more we understand it. The more that we're saying, hey, God, I want to understand your word today. Even before I read, I pray, God, help me to understand what I'm going to read. And he will do that. He will help you. And then you're like, man, I've been reading this for 10 years. And then you get excited. And hey, precious, I was reading this. And man, this is what this man in the Bible, man, did you know that? No. Okay, cool. Well, we'll work on it. I'll just make sure I'm, you know, we get excited about it because the Bible is living and active. Amen. And it says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this is the powerful thing about God. When it says that, the powerful thing is that God wants you to understand his word. Right? Now, us as parents, we never speak something to our kids and hope they don't understand it. Right? When you're supposed to tell them to clean your room, you're not going to say it in a language that they don't know. Right? God doesn't speak to us in a language that we don't know. That's not what God is doing. God is not some big old book, or he's not some big old person that he doesn't want us to understand. God, the heart of God is he wants you to understand his word. Now, if we are doing things in our own strength, we're thinking we could do this, we can handle it. Hey, God, I don't need you. Then you're not going to understand God's word. It's going to sound like French to you if you don't know how to speak French. Right? And you can speak whatever language. God's word will speak to you and your heart. That's the powerful thing about God's word. So we have to know that it is living and active. I was going to say something, too. I remember my dad said this one time. When people want to know what a word means, they go to a dictionary, right? And they don't argue with the dictionary, right? We talked about oceanology. You go in a dictionary, you look up, it says the study of the ocean, right? And it might say a little bit more detailed in there. But we don't argue with that. Even though when you're in school, teachers say, don't use the word to define, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys ever had teachers like that? They were like, if it's biology, don't use ology of bio, right? You don't do that. But the dictionary does that sometimes. But we don't argue with the dictionary, and we believe the dictionary. What my dad says, we have to believe God's word like we believe the dictionary. If we go to God's word and it says this, we shouldn't argue with it and say, oh, man, but come on, man, that's not what it's supposed to say. It should have said, we don't do that with God's word, because God's word should hold more weight than a dictionary. Amen. And I remember that he said that. I just wanted to share that with you. Now, this is something that is very interesting in the Bible. John 1, and we're going to read this chapter through verse 18. And then I have one more passage after that, and we'll be done with this today. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, okay? Now, this is interesting because the Bible, we have a book, right? We have the book, but we call the Bible the what? Word, the word of God. So it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It says, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. All right? It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay, so we get to understand that God's word, once again, because remember, I told you guys that God's word is not on that T word, and that T word was time. Right? It's not limited to time. It said God's word was in the beginning. If you go to look in Genesis, it says he spoke and things were created. In this chapter right here, it says, verse 3 says, all things were made through him, right? Which is talking about the word. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Now, so we get to see that the word of God was in the beginning. And we're going to keep on reading, so because this book always explains itself. That's a good thing about the Bible. If you don't understand something, keep reading, and it'll tell you something that, oh, I get it. That's the great thing about the Bible. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. All right, now if we back up, it says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, right? Now it's talking about Jesus being the light. Well, I jumped ahead. It talks about the word being the light, all right, who gives light to every man in the world. It says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right? So now we see the word was the light that allowed people, if they accepted the word and the light, they will be called children of God. Amen. Now, see, this is the thing. You can't accept Jesus and reject his word, right? If you don't believe the word of God, then you're not going to believe who Jesus really is. You're not understanding the fullness of who Jesus is, because the word bears witness to who Jesus is. Amen. It says in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right. So now it's talking about this same word that was in the beginning became flesh. What is flesh? Anybody know what flesh is? Come on, help me with you. Skin. All right. So the word put on some skin. Now, the color of his skin doesn't really matter right here. Okay. Like some people would go in wars over the skin. Like that's not what we're here for. But it put on flesh, which is not just skin, but also we are all flesh, all right? Like if you cut your skin, then they say that's really the flesh. So it said the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, so who is the only begotten? Somebody help me. Jesus, all right? So it's talking about Jesus was in the beginning, nothing was made without him, but it called him the Word. Then it said the Word became flesh, made his dwelling amongst us. And then it said John bore witness of him and cried out saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. All right. Now you have to understand the Bible to understand what is he talking about. This person that came after him was before him. That sounds confusing, right? If I got my kids and I say, stand in front of me, but behind me at the same time, that don't make sense. But because Jesus was the Word of God, was in the beginning and is in the beginning, because once again, he doesn't have time. He had put on flesh, and because he had to fit in with our time, he went in a certain time. Not only that, he changed time, right? We have B.C. and A.D., which means before Christ, and then A.D. after death, or sometimes they call it Anno Dominio, in the year of our Lord. You know, like, who else changed time? Like, if you got somebody else going to be born, like, let's say somebody was born tomorrow. Are we going to change this from A.D. to something else? You know, it doesn't happen. So that's another powerful thing. You can't explain that. No other religious persons changed the time, the way that the whole world looked at time. Why did time change there? That's interesting, right? But that's the power of God. Amen. It said, what verse was I at? 16. And of his fullness, we have all received and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So what we get to see once again is that the Word became flesh. And the similarities of the Word of God and Jesus are so profound that we call the Bible the Word of God, and we call him the Word, as it said in the beginning. It's interesting, right? The last scripture I want to go to is James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. Excuse me. But before we go there, just want to talk about something else that makes the Bible special, and that's prophecy. You guys know what prophecy is? Predicting something's going to happen even before it happened, right? Now, some people can look at, even the Old Testament, there was a lot of predictions about the Israelites being taken away by different nations. You got Babylon. Daniel had a dream that Babylon was going to happen. Jeremiah was telling them, hey, it's going to happen. Babylon's going to take over, right? And not only that, you have people in the Bible that were prophets. And if they're, and this is the crazy thing about prophecy, if your prophecy did not work, or you said something was going to happen and it didn't happen, you were killed. Right? So imagine us telling somebody, hey, yeah, Babylon is coming to take us. And Babylon just passes. They don't take it. They would have killed you. Right? But God spoke. What prophecy is, God speaking to us and letting us know what's going to happen in the future. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you guys this. We shouldn't get so spooky about prophecy. You know, sometimes people that can speak prophetic words to us, we just like, oh, man, I can't wait for them. Guess what? God can speak to you. Right? And he doesn't always have to speak a prophetic word, but he will speak a prophetic word to you sometimes. Amen. But sometimes we get so wrapped up with, I want to hear the prophetic word. God, tell me something special. When he has so many words in the Bible that we have to just go read. But sometimes we don't want to do that legwork to go search it out. We want some easy person that's going to walk in, come in town, and tell you what thus says the Lord. If you was in the Bible, you would have known what the word said. So it's important for us to study the word. And not only study, but do the word. Amen. James chapter 1, this is going to be my last scripture for the day. And I read this quite a lot. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Okay? Then it says, but be doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Okay? So some of us hear the word of God, but others do the word of God. What's the difference? It said, hearing, those that hear the word, they deceive themselves. It's interesting. What? How can you deceive yourself if you heard it? Well, if you don't, see, that's the thing about the Bible. The Bible is not just a book you read and say, oh, that was cool. The Bible is a book that you read and say, I need to change and make myself like this word, right? We talked about the word of God. It said this word is able to save us. If we do the word of God and we follow what the word of God says, which is the same thing we do with Jesus. Like, you guys see that parallel. constantly, if we just follow after Jesus and do what he told us to do, which is also the same thing as the word of God, by following him, we can be saved. Amen. Now let me explain that saved. Walking out salvation is different than accepting Jesus into your life. All right. Accepting Jesus is saying, God, I'm a sinner. We talked about the gospel last week. Forgive me for my sins. I accept your son into my heart. Now I commit my ways to you. I'm a lead and follow after you. Right. Now, you can say, God, I'm gonna follow after you. But 2 weeks later, you're like, man, I'm about to do my own thing. Right. But walking out salvation is saying, man, I got to still figure out what God wants for me today. Because I believe that the word of God should speak to us on a daily. We should allow it to speak to us to direct our steps today. Right. And even actually one of the disciples or apostles said, forgetting what is behind me. Right. Forgetting all the great things I've done. Now, listen, if you had a job and you ain't saved up all, you know what I'm saying, like, what is it, 401k, you ain't got all that, you don't just forget your job and say, all right, look what I did. What did you do? 3 years, I made $5 million. How much you got left? None. You don't just stop, right? And it's the same thing with Christianity. You can be saved, give your life to God, do great, powerful, wonderful things. But if you dwell on what you did back then and don't continue to walk out in the things of God, now you are off track. So you have to stay on course and stay focused. Amen. So it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was or woman he was. Because a lot of women, they be in the mirror all the time. You got man, he said he couldn't get in the bathroom, but they always in the mirror, right? So imagine you guys go in the mirror, look at yourself, and you forget who you are. Like, that's crazy. If you did that, they're going to put you in a straitjacket. You look at yourself in the mirror. Ah, who is that? That's you. Then you go back again. Oh, who's that? Like, that would be funny in a movie. But what we see is that's what happens. Now, the crazy thing is, if you don't do the word of God, you don't know yourself. More, it's not just about your picture. You don't know who you are. And guess what? The devil's thing is to do is to confuse you and let you know who you're not. That's what he did to Eve. He was like, God said you will be like him. You're not like him because you haven't ate this fruit. She was having an identity crisis because she didn't do the word of God. And the devil deceived her to thinking that, hey, you're not that. And what did she do? She went to Adam. And since Adam did not do the word of God, which he was told, just to think about how easy Adam had it, right? The only thing Adam could not do was eat one tree, the fruit of one tree, right? Talk about easy, man. I mean, come on, if we could just get back to that, right? But since he didn't do the word of God, now we are all, if we don't do the word of God, in the same boat. Dying to ourselves, or dying to this, to the spiritual. Amen. But it says, look, verse 25, thank God that it doesn't always just point a bad picture. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. See, that's that word right there. Continues. We talked about not stopping, but continue in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. It's the power of the word of God. Doing it, it would allow us to be blessed in what we do. Now, see, some of people would think, oh, that means you're going to have a lot of money. Guess what? You can have a lot of money and be stressed. That's not a blessing. You can have a lot of money and don't have no time for your kids. Can't figure. It goes back to that time again. You see how? But being blessed allows you to be able to rest. Right? And I'm not even just talking about sleep rest, but have peace. that surpasses all understanding. Some people want peace in their life, but they will not get it until they obey the word of God in their life. Amen. So we were talking about the word. I pray that that was encouraging to you and helped you understand a little bit more about the Bible. So when somebody tells you, hey, I don't believe that book, it's a fable, now you have some good ammunition. You know, don't shoot nobody, but you have some stuff to tell them. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to go ahead and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray, dear God, that you even would speak further than me. Dear God, that the scriptures, that they would stand out, oh God, that the points would help us dig deeper into your word, oh God, and not just be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word, oh God. Dear God, so that we will be blessed in everything that we do, and we will walk in accordance to what you have called us to walk in. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give your name the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.